Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight. Yes, indeed, you are once again tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Harper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. is standing by. He will be sharing part two of this message from the last time he was on air. He will be sharing part two of the message titled, The Rules of Engagement, Know Your Enemy. So I pray that you all have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along as he gets ready to share part two of this message. It's awesome. Powerful message with us on tonight. But we get ready to go to God in prayer as we always do. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pray for those that are sick and afflicted. I pray and ask that you all continue to lift up the family of Sister Marcia Quinton and her entire family, her daughter and son and that entire family. Her husband, Deacon Quinton, made his heavenly transition on yesterday. And so that was so unexpected. But, you know, God said that we all are here for on borrowed time and for a limited amount of time, so we never know when God is going to call our name. So that's why he said, be ye also ready, because we don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. So we're going to continue to keep Sister Marcia Clinton and her son and daughter in prayer. Not only that family, but all those, and also Minister Everett. His wife made her heavenly transition on this past week. Her homegoing service will be next Saturday. So we're going to continue to keep them in prayer. And all those that have lost loved ones, whether we know them or not, all those that are sick and afflicted, whether we know them or not as well, keep them lifted up in prayer. And as well, we also want to remember to keep all pastors, keep all pastors in our prayers. They need our prayers and our support. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come on tonight as a corporate body of believers, saved in Jesus' name on tonight, coming to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are, because you're so worthy of our praise. We thank you that you are God, and you're God all by yourself. You have and hold all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. And we thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being a promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people, and to be faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we come asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. Start with myself, my entire family, Overseer Jackson and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace that you extend to all of us. In the name of Jesus. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in each one of us individually and then as a corporate body of believers. In the name of Jesus. Have your way, Heavenly Father. Move by your Holy Spirit through your man of God as he gets ready to share another word from you with us on tonight over this worldwide platform. And we don't want to forget those that are incarcerated behind prison bars. Continue to move by your Spirit, even though they may be incarcerated. We know that your word says that we, no matter where we are, we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And we're so grateful that you still care for us, even those that are included behind us for just and unjust reasons, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we consider this about pastors and our shepherds, that you are faithful in our lives, that are teaching and preaching your word and being living epistles and being faithful doers of your word. Continue to bless them and strengthen them, strengthen their hearts, Lord. Continue to strengthen their minds and their bodies and their spirits. We grant them all the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. Continue to bless the ministries that you have given them charge over, that you will continue to be glorified through each ministry all over the land. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight's scripture food for thought comes to a saying on tonight. Sometimes God will kill a connection so the connection won't kill you. Now, that's powerful. I'm going to say it again. Tonight's scripture food for thought, and it's the truth. I'm so grateful that sometimes God will kill a connection so the connection won't kill you. I welcome all comments and feedback from our listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note, I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. We get ready to go to a short music break. Then we're going to come back. We're going to yield the mic to Overseer Jackson as he gets ready to conclude the conclusion of the whole matter regarding this message title on tonight, part two. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along. We're going to go to our music break on tonight. And we haven't played this song in a while. And because we thank God for being a promise keeper, and we know that he said we can cast all the cares upon him. So that's why we ask him, the Lord, once again on tonight, cover me, Lord.
Cover me, Lord, with thy Spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. Cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath.
Yes. Cover me, Lord. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that still works and it will never lose its power. Before bringing forth Overseer Jackson on tonight, I'm going to give a shout out to my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Murphy Holloway, and my church family, Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, also located in Harper Woods, Michigan. And also said, want to give a happy birthday celebration to Deaconess Newfield Nix, the wife of the late Reverend Charles H. Nix, Jr., the pastor of the St. James Baptist Church where I sung in the Allegro Choir. We had a beautiful 80th birthday celebration for her on this evening, a great turnout. It was a beautiful celebration. So thank God for that. Thank God for Sister Deaconess Lucille Nix, who is still in the land of the living with us. She was my new member's teacher for the Sunday school class. When I joined that church in 1977, she was my new member teacher for Sunday school. So right now we're ready to receive Overseer Jackson. And please listen and note that once he's finished with tonight's message, I will open up the phone lines for those of you that have dialed in. If you have a question for him pertaining to tonight's message, or if you just want to give him words of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so on the message on tonight. Overseer Jackson, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, sir. We certainly honor the Lord tonight. Can you hear me tonight? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. I certainly honor the Lord tonight for his mercy and his kindness, and thanking him just for the privilege of being able to be with you one more time. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, and your graciousness. We thank you for keeping us in our right mind. We just thank you for just watching over us. You brought us through another week. You didn't let any hurt, harm, or danger come our way. No fires came to our homes. It's rained all day long. But God, there have been no fires like they said there would be, and we thank you so much for that. They said the winds would blow, but I asked you last night, Father, to calm the wind, and I see that you did just what I asked you to do. And for that, I'm so grateful. I'm asking you today, Father, just to remember us as we go into this little case of study and help somebody, Father, to just grow closer to you, if you will. Strengthen the saints of God, Father, in this day and time. We need your help. So much is going on. Depression is everywhere. Suicides are raging, God. Folks are concerned about how they're going to make it. God, I'm asking you to help the saints everywhere. Be with them and help them to know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world that dwells therein. You are the source of our strength. You said you'd be a refuge in trouble. Glory, God, we thank you. God, we look to you. Help tonight. We look to you for help. Help your people everywhere, please. Father, so much is happening, like I said. Earthquakes in diverse places, floods, and just so much tragedy. God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would strengthen us and help us to go on, if you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Now touch our minds, touch our hearts. Let there be no stony ground tonight. But, Lord, we ask that you rebuke the devil and help us to go forward in Jesus' name. We pray and we thank you. Amen. I thought that this was going to be the end. I thought this was going to be the end. But as I sat here before coming on the air, our minds are like computers. God just started downloading stuff. And I asked him, what's going on? And I asked him, what is this for? He said, for you to talk on tonight. And I said, but you didn't give me enough time. He said, for you to talk on tonight is part of what you're in a series and you just didn't know it. You're in a series and you just. So just go forward and do what I asked you to do. So I'm asking you, just bear with me. I'm going to do the best I can. With what he did. I don't know about you, but when we talk about the war that we're getting ready, that we are in, when we talk about preparing for the battle, when we talk about knowing your enemy, you also have to know the times in which you live. You must know. You must. And if you don't, let me just tell you about these times in which you live. You've got to know it because the time is short. And that's why the battle is going to be fiercely fought. Now, when the enemy knows that their time is short, they've got to do what they've got to do. They'll take out every method that they can to take you out of here. If you know anything about history, you'll know that when Germany started losing the war, Hitler did everything that he could to come back at the Allied forces and to make it difficult for them to come after him. And that's exactly what the enemy of our souls is doing. You've got to redeem and know the times. Charles Dickens wrote something. I don't know if you ever read the story or if you really want to watch a really, really good story, you might want to watch this movie called A Tale of Two Cities. It's a fascinating story. As I sat there and watched it one evening, it began to talk about things that were happening in our lifetime that was taking place in the 1700s. But what it showed was one person died for another person when he didn't have to. And when I saw that picture, I said, God, this is the same thing you did for me. He said, yes, I died for you when I didn't have to, because I saw something in you that I wanted to develop. And so in the beginning of the book, it writes this, and I'm saying this, I'm going to quote it for a reason, and you'll see why in a minute. It said, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch. And I want to define that term epoch. It means a period of time in history or a person's life, typically one marked by notable events or particular characteristics. It was an epoch. It was a time in history when it was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. Does that sound like the time in which we live? It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. Sounds like what the same thing they went through was the same thing we're going through. We had everything before us, and we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct to hell. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noblest authorities insisted on it being recorded. And when I read that, I said, God, in that day and time, sounds like this day and time. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I told you in the scripture that there is nothing new under the sun. What was,
will
come again. What was will come again. You've got to redeem the time. Redeem the time meaning take note of the time in which you live. You've got to be like the tribe of Issachar, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, who were noted for being able to tell the events that were going to take place during the seasons. You've got to know the time in which you live. What goes around will come around. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man come again. I don't know about you, but our times are equaling what Noah lived through. And you've got to come aware of it. I saw something the other day on the news that this one was on TikTok. It bothered me when I saw the young girl get up and she's a rap star now. But she was talking about her love life. And she said, I knew that this young boy loved me, but I didn't know how much he loved me until Valentine's Day came. And he didn't have a gift for me. But what he did was he went out and robbed somebody and gave me the money that he robbed from the man. Isn't that a wonderful way to show how much you love somebody?
Oh,
when I heard him say this, I sat up in my chair and I said, did I hear what she said? That a man put another person's life in jeopardy? And all he got was $14 and gave it to her. And she considered this an act of love. I said, God, what kind of world are we living in? When I turned on the news and I saw some other things that had taken place, young girl, no more than 15 years old, stabbed another girl to death three times, took a knife three times and stabbed her on the subway. I said, God, these are our kids. These are children. And God said, you wonder why I got rid of people with the flood? You wonder why I did the things that I did? Because I knew that not even I could save them, because they were so far deluded by the enemy. And Brother James, when you said that saying, this when you opened up with that saying about how God will shut down certain people in our lives because they came to destroy us, I know what you're talking about.
Yes,
because Satan will send an assassin. Do you hear me? He'll send an assassin. Yeah. We're talking about the wiles of the devil. We're talking about how he functions, how he moves. He will use other people to get to you. He knows what you like. He knows the things that you will tend to look out after. He knows the little foxes that can spoil the vine. He knows what they are. He'll use them every time he can. He comes after the mind. He comes after the mind. If he can get your mind, he's got you. That's where the battle takes place, in the mind.
That's right.
You've got to know your enemy. And if you don't know him, you won't be able to redeem the time. You've got to know the time in which you live. Jesus turned around and told you in Matthew 24. He said, in the last days, the earthquakes would come. He told you that there will be wars and rumors of wars. He told you all of the things that you should look for and see. And when you saw them, you should be aware of the fact that the end is near. And we're walking around acting like ain't nothing changed. Every day when I see the news, all I can do is say, God, help me to be ready. Help me, God. If there's anything in my life that's not like you, God, get rid of it. You said you were coming after somebody that had no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish. No spot. Do you know how big a spot may be, how small it may be? No spot, no wrinkle or blemish. You're coming for a pure and a holy church. When you hear things like I heard this week, and it hurt my heart to no end when I heard a group of ministers who were in a conference say that there is no such thing as the rapture. There is no such thing. Jesus will not return. Y'all looking for, he said it's a joke. It ain't real. It won't happen. And the other ministers began to chime in and say, you know, I agree with you. You know, I don't believe in all that. All you got to do is do the best you can, and God will do what he can, what he do to make it right with you. And I said, what kind of foolishness is this? This is a trick the enemy has put out. And when the leaders of the church start to do this, I'm saying to myself, you better guard your mind. You better know that Jesus said these people would come in the last days. He said people would rather believe a lie rather than the truth. Why do you think we're going through what we're going through with Trump and all of this foolishness in the Congress? Because there's a spirit of a lie that has come forward. We talked about principalities. There's a lying spirit over this country. There's a spirit of deception over this country. And we're acting like we don't know it. But God says these are the things that you should look for, because it's telling you that my imminent return is near. When I had to chime in on these ministers, because I had to tell them I'm glad that I was born in a time and to a people that preached the truth to me.
Yes.
I didn't want to hear everything that they told me because it ran against what I wanted to do, but I learned that I had to sanctify myself. In other words, I had to set myself apart. I learned that I had to get rid of everything that was not like God, because he said, sanctify yourself, and the very God of peace will come in and sanctify you holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, and this ain't no church concept, but without holiness, without living a life that God has said, you will not see God.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get back to basics, folks. Tell people the truth. whether they want to hear it or not. Tell them the truth, because your blood won't be on my hands. If you decide to do what you want to do after you hear the word, and when you hear the word, let me tell you something. You are now in a position where you are responsible for what you heard.
That's right.
God will hold you responsible because somebody told you the truth, and if you reject it, it's on you. You need to redeem the time. This is no time to play games. No time to play games. Jesus is on his way back. And every minister that said that is a liar from the pit of hell. And God said, if you take my word and change it, he said, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. You've got to be careful who you let speak into your mind. That's why, again, we're going to go back to one thing that I'm going to say. You've got to know the word for yourself. You can't take it from somebody else. You've got to read it for yourself. Spend some time in the word of God, or you'll never be able to fight your enemy. And let's move on to what I wanted to talk about a little bit. I was thinking today, and the Lord dropped this in my mind just before we came on the air. He said, before you go into the armor of God, teach them about the modern-day war of methods. Because they're living in a different time than John and the other revelators lived in. And so you can use today's standard, and they'll understand it just a little bit better. And I've never been into the service. If I ever tell you about that situation, you die laughing. But they told me, go home. Go home. But I'll tell you about that one other time. But they told me, no, you can't come here. Go home. Go home. But I listened to my buddies talk to me about their experience in boot camp. Their experience in boot camp. And if you don't know boot camp is the first step of becoming a soldier, where you learn the skills, and the traditions of the Army. This is where you get your basic training. That's what they call it, basic training. When you come in, they take raw recruits, people who are used to doing anything they wanted to do, going anywhere they wanted to go. They lived their life any kind of way without any kind of order if they wanted to. But when they came into the service and they took that oath, they no longer belong to themselves. They belong to Uncle Sam. They belong to Uncle Sam. Whatever Sam told you to do, that's what you had to do. And if you didn't do it, he put you out and gave you a dishonorable discharge, and you found yourself in a world of mess when you got out of here. You had to learn things that you didn't learn when you were in your home. Oh, you could buck your mother and father if you wanted to, but you wasn't going to buck that sergeant.
You better never. I'm a witness.
In your face. He was all up in your face. Call you all kinds of names. Made you do crazy things, things that you didn't want to do, things that you never thought you would do. But you found a way to get it done because you in the Army now.
I'm a witness.
You in the Army. You in boot camp. In basic training, you're going to learn discipline. You're going to learn discipline. You ain't gonna do what you want to do because you want to do it. You're going to learn discipline. When they say do this, you do this. You don't talk back to no military officer. No, you just do what he says to do. Yes, sir. Go about your business. You may not like it, but you do what you got to do.
That's right.
And you're going to be alongside people to your left and to your right that you will know for the rest of your Army career. In other words, you're going to other recruits. And you guys are going to have to depend on one another. And you have to learn how to work together. So when you work together, you'll learn that you can count on one another when you get in trouble, that somebody's going to be there to help you out of the situation. You learn all of this in basic training.
That's right.
That's what you have to do. And you see, that's why the scripture tells us that we know those who labor among you. Scripture just doesn't say things to say things. You got to know the people that labor with you. In order, you got to know who's on your left and who's on your right. Do they have your back when it comes to combating the devil? Can you go to them? Can you talk to them? Can you let them know what your heart is feeling? The Bible tells you that we ought to bear the burdens of one another. And it tells us sometimes we need to confess our faults one another. Now, be careful of that. You can't tell everybody all your faults. You better not. Because your best enemy, your best friend can be your worst enemy tomorrow. And they got all your secrets. You don't tell them everything. No, you don't do that. But in basic training, you learn how to trust one another. And by the time you finish basic training, you'll be equipped with a wealth of skills and knowledge, including physical and mental strength, to carry out the duties of a soldier. You'll have and the ability to make informed decisions. You'll have advanced knowledge of survival skills, like first aid or navigation or hand-to-hand combat. That's why in Romans 3 and 5 and 3, you got to learn sometimes. We're going to learn something. It says we can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confidence and hope of salvation. In other words, it's simply saying what you learn through your trials and testings are going to help you to become the strong soldier that God needs you to be. Shirley says, God don't need no coward soldiers. He don't need none. When you go into battle, you got to go into battle knowing that you got an enemy to fight and you got to deal with him on his terms. You got to know how to fight him, and you've got to be equipped to fight him. And there's something else. If you give me a minute, let me see if I can pull it up in this thing because it's important. If I can find it, yeah. Come on, where is it? Can you hold just for a minute? My allergy is kicking in. Just a minute. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
I can tell when it's time to get that allergy shot, and it is time now because I'm having problems breathing right now, but I'm okay. Where am I? Okay. So in other words, you got to know that these things are helping you to become the soldier that you're going to have to become. I was reading the other day when I was looking, well, a few minutes ago when I was reading this, they were talking about the importance of the physical composition when you go into basic training. Now, you know, you got to learn how to do the sit-ups. You got to learn how to do them push-ups. You got to do the jumping jacks. You got to do all them things. You got to do endurance runs. You're just going through basic mental and physical training that's going to push you to the ultimate limits.
And
you may think you can't do it, but you will do it. You will do it. And when you overcome and when you come out of that, you will be strong. But one thing they do is they teach you about your physical composition. And you've got to remember that the Bible is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You've got to keep your temple clean. You've got to keep your temple working properly. You've got to take care of the temple if you're going to fight the battle. If you wounded and messed up and you crippled, how are you going to fight the enemy? If you can't see, how are you going to fight him? You've got to do what you've got to do to stay physically strong and adept. And that means you've got to go to the doctor when you're supposed to. Take and get mental, get physical checkups in order to make sure that your body is functioning properly. You've got to go into war knowing that if you're going through stressful times, you can deal with the circumstance. If you're going through bouts of depression, stop sitting home alone and get to somebody that can help you. That's why they have physical doctors out there that can help you through mental crises so that you don't turn yourself into a person who will consider suicide. If you feel these things happening in your life, you've got to deal with them. Don't like it's not important. God loves you, but the enemy has an assassin assigned to you, and he'll mess with your mind. But when you find yourself in certain circumstances, you've got to go back to what the Word says. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee of all of thy conditions. Thou shalt not die, but live to declare the goodness of God. You got to know that God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. In other words, what I'm saying is you got to know some book, baby. You got to know the Word. You got to take time to read the Word. You got to implant the Word in your heart. What did David say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. But my word is there because I need that. That's the standard. The army has standards that you cannot go against. You got to learn their standards and fight with those standards. Same way with God's army. God has standards. What did he say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll lift up a standard against him. And today in our society, our standards are being torn down. We don't want standards anymore. No standards, you'll do anything. Got to have a standard. In the army, you just don't wear anything. You got a uniform. You got a uniform. And in God's service, you got a uniform, too. He told us how to dress. He said, you dress with modesty. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Too many of us forget that this world is not a home. Not a home. You got another home that you hopefully want to get to. But we're going back to the things that I wanted to say simply is this. And I'm going to end it tonight because I'm going to have to go into the structure of the clothing and some of the other things just a little bit later. But when you're in this basic training, you learn how to use weaponry, and it's important that you know how to use what has been assigned to you. They give you a gun. You got to know how to take it apart. You got to know how to clean it. You got to make sure that it's working because it could save your life one day. You got to know how to use the weaponry. They're going to teach you what a bayonet is for. They're going to teach you hand-to-hand training. They're going to give you a gas mask and put you in a building that's full of gas and send you through it. And you got to get from one end of the other to the other to get out of it. You got to find your way out. They're going to send you all courses in order to train you how to overcome the obstacles that you're going to find on the battlefield. And the same thing is happening in the church world. You've got to learn the different things. That's why you go through. I read the scripture. That's why you go through, because God is conditioning you so that when you get out there, when you get into the battle, When you are in the war situation, you'll know how to function. You'll know how to overcome the obstacles that the enemy has placed in your way. You'll know how to walk around those minefields. You'll know, like the book says, when the Bible says, when my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And though a host encamp against me, I shall not fear. Why aren't you fearing? Because God is with you.
Yes, sir.
He's taught you through your trials and through your tribulations how to overcome the obstacles that the enemy is going to place in your life. Don't complain. Don't complain. God, why is this happening to me? Because God is trying to position you and get you to a place that you can do what you have to do with his help. And know that he is somebody who's going to be there to bring you out okay. You know the end of the story. You read the book. Hopefully you read the book. If you read the book, you know you're going to make it. If you read
the
book,
Lord,
you've got to read in the service. They give you a list of things you got to know. You got to know the chain of command. You got to know what you can do and what you can't do. Same way in the Word of God, with God. You got to know the Father, the Son, and you've got to have the Holy Ghost in your life. Because the Holy Ghost will speak to you. The Holy Ghost will open your eyes to certain things. The Holy Ghost will make sure that you make it through the storm successfully. The Holy Ghost will reveal the traps. The Holy Ghost will reveal to you what you have to do in order to get out of certain situations. You've got to know the book. You've got to know the book. You've got to go through the training process. That's why you go through. I wish somebody had taught me this, what I'm trying to tell you tonight. I really wish they would have. I wouldn't have gone through half of the trouble I went through if somebody had sat down and told me, son, this is what you got to look forward to. This is what you got to look out for. Thank God for those that did take the time to say, come here, baby, let me show you something. I will always be grateful for one minister who saw me struggling and came to me and said, brother, let me tell you something. I see what you're going through. But the Bible said there's some things you're going to struggle with from the day you're born to the day you die. And I looked at him and he said, Paul told us, he said, listen, he said, I went to God three times and told him that there was a thorn in my flesh. And I needed him to get rid of it. And he came back to me and said, my grace is sufficient. And when he said his grace is sufficient, it meant simply that I'm giving you power to overcome. Didn't I tell you he that overcomes, I got a crown of life for him? If you, in order to overcome, you got to go through. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulations. Trouble is going to knock on your door. Don't get upset. Know that God is putting you through the boot camp experience and that he's going to be there. He's ever watchful. He said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the world. I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. I'm like that sergeant that's forever present. I'm watching you. And when I see you can't make it, I know how to step in and fix the situation.
Oh, my witness.
Yes. In boot camp. You in boot camp. In boot camp, there's things that you have to learn. You have to know it if you're going to be successful. And guess what? Boot camp lasts about 10 weeks. It's 10 weeks of struggle. 10 weeks of hardship. But when it's over, and you get not that right hand of fellowship, but when you get that certificate saying you made it through,
yes, Lord.
Then they start to train you on the thing that you really came into the service for, hopefully. And so when you go through basic training in God's service, you're prepared to deal with the battle that you're going to face. Next time, we'll talk about the uniform. will talk about the purpose of the uniform, what it does for you. We thank you.
Yes.
Honor you, and we praise what you've done tonight. Just ask that we hope that we've illuminated somebody's heart, somebody's mind. God, help us, won't you? So much is going down. So much is happening. Help us. In Jesus' name, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, listen, whatever part two of Now Know Your Enemy. So we're looking forward to what Overseer Jackson is going to share with us on the next time that he's with us on the third Thursday in October. So we're going to be looking forward to what God is going to say through him to us through his word about Know Your Enemy. Well, listen, Overseer Jackson, I thank God for you for sharing this word on how you get that compared to the basic training of the military. But I'm sure that a lot of listeners never heard talking about. But I'm sure there are some that have actually served in the military, went through boot camp, like I did. I served years in the Navy. I was through Great Illinois. So, and then I like how you broke it down and you compared the difference between physical training, getting us ready when we're serving in the military, according to God's word, and how we have to be prepared, you know, spiritually, and then also how we have to keep on the whole armor of God. You can't take nothing off. You got to keep everything on because it's there for a reason. So thank God for you for this word on tonight. And I was truly impressed, and I was blessed by this word on tonight. Know Your Enemy, part two. And I'm getting ready to open up the phone lines. I know that other people that have dialed in, I'm sure they were blessed as well. So we are going to give them a chance to speak to you on tonight. Again, we do have a people that dials in. They don't say anything, but we still thank God for them for taking time out to listen and be blessed by God's word. So right now, the phone lines are open for anyone that has heard this word on tonight, talking about Know Your Enemy regarding the physical boot camp, and then talking about, and he broke it down about spiritual part, how important it is to know God's word and know the importance of prayer and faith. So right now the phone lines are open for anyone that have received this word on tonight. If you have words of encouragement for Overseer Jackson, the phone lines are open now. Anyone? Praise the Lord.
Well, good evening, Brother Brown and Brother Overseer Jackson. Y'all doing well tonight? Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Amen. Well, thank you for that lesson, Overseer Jackson. You know, to successfully win at any battle, you've got to know your enemy.
Got to
and
know.
You've got to be ready and prepared to fight that battle with the enemy.
You got that right.
Indeed.
Amen. Because we are on the battlefield for the Lord. So thank you for that message tonight.
Thank you, baby.
I'm waiting for part three. I'm waiting for part three over here, Jackson. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. To the grand jury, the only one I'm looking forward to part three, too. It's about that uniform. I'm looking forward to that, too. Listen.
Amen.
You always give us words of encouragement. You always inspire us by sharing with us and letting us know that you received the message that God shared with us through the men and women of God that bring forth his word over this worldwide platform. So for that, we're grateful for you. Anyone else that's on the line? The phone lines are still open. If you were blessed by tonight's message, please let us know. Praise the Lord. I see we have a lot of people still on the line. The lines are open.
The Lord.
I thank God.
Praise the Lord.
I thank God for that.
Yes, I was blessed with this message tonight. I'm always blessed to hear him preach the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Mother.
Sister Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina. Thank you. You always give us good feedback. And we thank God that you're blessed. We thank God that you're blessed. Thank you, Sister Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina. I know that Sister Cheryl Doss was trying to speak. Sister Cheryl Doss, could you go ahead and speak now, Sister Cheryl Doss? The line is still open, Sister Cheryl Doss. Could you speak louder? Speak louder into your phone so we can hear you. Well, listen. Don't worry about it, Sister Cheryl. Listen, we understand, and God knows your heart. So for those of you that are listening in on tonight and don't know the situation regarding Sister Cheryl Goss, she's another faithful member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. I am also a member. She is still dealing with throat issues, and the doctors still cannot really confirm and find out what's really going on with her voice and her throat. But that's why I'm stopping her now. We don't want you to try to continue to talk. So just rest your voice. God understands. He knows your heart. So I just want you to know that we know that Overseer Jackson know who you are, and he know that you have received his word. So you continue to stay faithful unto the Lord, because God is not through with you yet either. And we know that that's nothing but the attack of the enemy trying to stop your voice. But you already have the victory, because God is a promise keeper, and he still watches over his word to perform it in the lives of you, in your life, so that you will be healed, delivered, and set free, so that you will be able to speak oracles of God like never before. Just continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Continue to be faithful and do all that God has assigned to your hand, Sister Cheryl Doss. This is a word of encouragement for you on tonight. So we know that Overseer Jackson knows, again, he knows who you are, and he knows that you have received this word on tonight. So thank you so much for trying to speak into the life of Overseer Jackson on tonight. We appreciate you, and your labor is not in vain. Once again, Overseer Jackson, before we close up for tonight, do you have any final words before we close up for tonight?
No, sir. Thank you. I'm just grateful that it went as well as it did, because, like I said, he just gave that to me just before you came on the air.
All right. Oh, listen, I'm glad you said that, because I know that Sister Gwen did not hear the scripture proof of thought. I know you made a comment about it before you brought the word. But for those that dialed in late, the scripture food for thought, and it ties in with tonight's message. The scripture food for thought came to us saying, and it's very true, sometimes God will kill a connection so the connection won't kill you. Now, that's powerful. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes God will kill a connection so the connection won't kill you. We're committed to close off the listeners. If you, as I stated earlier, please pray for our pastors, even pastors that we don't know of, that are truly standing on God's word and are being faithful doers of God's word. We want to continue to lift them up in prayer, because if they are truly men and women of God and teaching and preaching God's word and trying to be a living epistle, an example in this evil world today, they need our prayers. So right now we're going to close out for tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again on tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name. We thank you for your word that is going forth through your man of God, Overseer Jackson, on tonight. Continue to bless him. Strengthen his body, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We know that you were glorified on tonight, and the enemy is more horrified because of your word that has gone forth through your man of God on tonight. So continue to strengthen his voice. Continue to strengthen and heal his and anoint his body as only you can in the name of Jesus. Continue to comfort and strengthen our sister in Christ, Marcia Quentin, and her children, as her husband made his heavenly transition on yesterday. Also, Minister Alfred of Sonora Baptist Church, whose wife made her heavenly transition on this week as well. And all those that have lost loved ones, strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. Continue to strengthen those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies. We continue to lift up Sister Vivian Gray and her husband. Continue to strengthen and heal his body so that he would have another testimony letting the world know that it was nobody but you who have healed him, delivered him, and set him free. Not only him, but all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Continue to touch, heal, and deliver. It's only you in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your Spirit on tomorrow as your word goes forth, whether we're in the household of faith, whether we are in the house of God on tomorrow physically or through social media platforms around the world, even those that are receiving your word through behind prison bars on tomorrow. Let your word go forth with power on tomorrow. Their souls will be saved. Backsliders will come back to the fold. And that those that are in the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow. And that you get the glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I always let you all know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.